God is good. Always remind you that God is good.
All the time.
Not everybody believes that. They believe that God is conditional in his love, and that if you don't behave, he doesn't like you. Or that if you don't grow as a Christian or something, he's mad or whatever. None of those things are true. God cannot change. Once he says he loves you, he can't then take it back. So even those that reject him, he still loves them. And so he can't say, well, you've gone too far. He can never do that. So once God speaks, he speaks perfectly. He isn't limited by time and space. So he already knows everything from the beginning. So if he says, for God so loved the world, he doesn't just love the saved ones. He loves everybody, and always has and always will. We don't understand him. We don't understand the love of God. It's always unconditional, with no conditions. There are no conditions. You would think, if you received what I just said, you would think that people then would become honest before God and say, God, I haven't done right, and so on and so forth, because there's no punishment for it. So you would think people would stop faking or lying. And yet Christians are the biggest fakes and biggest liars going. The pagans are much better, as at least they know they're pagan and they're just for money or for trying to find life in life or whatever. But we Christians pretend like we're following God when you're really just looking for life in life. Many Christians are still wanting happiness for their flesh. And they can say they don't, but they do. So, I mean, it shows you don't understand the love of God. Because the love of God is not bothered by that. That's just called your flesh. Is it when that's your flesh, it's okay. It won't hurt a thing. But you, of all people, ought to be able to be clean before God and say, oh, that was my flesh. Sorry, but that isn't me. This is me over here. This is me. The way Jesus is, that's the way me is. So, therefore, you can rejoice at all times. Amen? But Christians are big fakes, and pastors cause them to be. But you don't need pastors to help you. You do it on your own. But I have to work really hard to get you to always be happy, always rejoice, because God's love. So every day to say that God is love, it means he's unconditionally loving. He has no conditions. He never was mean. He never was wrathful and nasty, ever, and never will be. So people choose to go to hell on their own. He won't stop them because he doesn't force. True religion is never forced. So every other religion forces. There's not another religion that doesn't force people. It wants everyone to be good rather than bad. And though God wishes that, he does not force it. And in fact, he doesn't want you to force it. He doesn't want you to be a hypocrite. God, in the Old Testament, God's against sin. In the New Testament, he's against hypocrisy. So the New Testament has much more to say, not about sin, how Israel said they were going to do this and didn't, but about hypocrisy, which he's pointing out in the Old Testament, they were always hypocrites. So the New Testament's not so much about don't commit adultery and murder. It's more about stop lying. Just don't lie to yourself. Okay, lie to other people, but don't lie to yourself and don't lie to God. God's the only one that's good. You don't have to be good, and you aren't good, and you never will be good in and of yourself. You're just a branch, and you have to be hooked into the tree, the trunk, the vine, in order to bear any fruit. And you're not going to bear fruit if you're not in a perfect love affair with Jesus. And totally dependent, totally passive, cuts you off, and that's the end of your fruit. So the only way you have any fruit is you don't. It's never been your fruit anyway. It was always just Jesus. It was always just Jesus. It was always just Jesus. And Jesus is the one that tells you all. You know, the original purpose of God was to give you the kingdom. And that's what he always wanted. Well, why did he give me the law? Good question. That's a good question. Why did he give the law why didn't he just give the gospel in the first place? We actually did, by the way. He actually did give the gospel. In Genesis 3:15, the gospel's right there. So from the very beginning, even before there was a law, 2,500 years before there was a law, he gave the gospel. Abraham had the gospel 430 years before Moses. So he always has had the gospel first. It's just that it was hidden, and he wanted to make it not hidden in God. I mean, it was hidden, but men couldn't figure it out. They just thought God was mad and that he wanted them to behave. He's never wanted you to behave. You never did. Now, outward behavior is not from the heart. Right? Your outward behavior has nothing to do with your heart. You could be mean and nasty in your heart and then outwardly behave yourself. Just a way to get along. But God doesn't count that. He calls that hypocrisy. If, in fact, you're nasty on the inside, then even if you're nice on the outside, it's just a mask. You're still nasty. Now, when you're born again, you get a new heart. So now you don't have a heart problem at all because Jesus did that. He just gave it to you for free. He decided instead of working it up slowly through good works, he just give you the end result right away, give you the victory right from the start. We're not like communists that work from the outside. Make the conditions better and then men will be happy. We're like those that make the person happy and then later the conditions will change. So God does it the opposite of this world. The world's turned upside down. Amen? Now, I want to finish Hebrews 7 today from the 11th verse, but I want you to understand that God is good. God is good. And everything in you called the flesh that's still there still remains. It no longer has a foundation to it, doesn't have a heart anymore, but it still is in your mind. It's still in your will. It's still in your habits. It will never love God. It will never believe in God. Your flesh will never believe in God. There is no such thing as Christian flesh. They're opposites. Once you become a Christian, flesh no longer rules. But because he left it in you, they're still there. But it's not from the heart. So when you do something in the flesh, you just blow it off and go, well, that was my old man, but thank God my old man's not real. He's no longer alive. He has no root. He has no foundation. He has no basis. That was just my old man talking. I forgot. Sorry. Looked in the mirror. Forgot what I looked like. Need to look in the mirror again. And that's what we do every Sunday. That's what we do every time we meet. If you call me on the phone, I'm just going to remind you of who you are. I'm not going to bawl you out for what you did or what you didn't did. I'm not into behavior at all. I'm not into behavior. I'm into relationship. Because God's intent, how many know there's a difference in our lives between intention and action? We always intend to do things that we don't always end up doing. I intended to have a good time tonight, but I got depressed. Okay, so intention is what you intended, and you really did. You really intended to do something better, but you don't live up to it. Well, God's not like that. If God intends something, it's done. I mean, he's never frustrated his intention. Okay, so let's imagine this were the intention of God. This was the inner heart of God. This is God in his inner being of beings. And so God intends to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Intention is the same thing as his will, same thing as his pleasure. So when the king wants something, that's God, king, when he wants something, he gets it. The king always gets his way. He always has his pleasure. He always has his will. Oh, you can't do that. That's not the king's pleasure. He doesn't want you to hunt in that forest or whatever, whatever he tells you to do or not do. But it's our Father, our King, the King of Kings, the King that's over all the kings. It's his pleasure to give you the kingdom. You're going to have it all. There's nothing forbidden. Isn't that amazing? And if he wants you not to sin, that's his problem. If he wants you to be forgiven, that's his problem. If he wants you to be holy, that's his problem. If he wants mercy to show toward you, he gets to do it. You can't stop him from doing it. If he doesn't want to destroy a sinner, he doesn't have to. Now, he has a law that says, I'm going to destroy anybody that's a sinner that doesn't do what I say. Okay. Now, is this his intention or is this his action? Is this his intention? I just told you his intention was to that all men might be saved. I desire not the death of any sinner. And yet, he has a law. So by this law, he says, don't sin or else. Okay, first of all, before he gives it to Moses, he writes it on the heart of every human being. So every human being has this law. Be good, don't be bad. Everybody has that. It's called the natural law. And it's just written on your heart, and you have a conscience that beep, 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 every time you do something wrong, beep, 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 you know, it just kind of tells you, wrong, tilt, stop. And so people are pricked in their conscience whenever they argue with somebody or get mad or upset or whatever. Your body just can't handle it. And so you put yourself under stress. Now, this is even without the law of Moses, without knowing anything about God's revealed, manifested law. It's just what he wrote on the finger of your heart with his finger. He wrote it on your heart to say, be good, don't be bad. But it wasn't clear. It wasn't exactly clear. Because this law of God, now it becomes real clear in Moses. It becomes clear in Moses. But let's forget Moses for a second. Moses is just clearer than what's written on your heart, but it's the same. What's written on your heart is the same as the law of Moses. The same, exact same. Everything that's given to the Jewish people was just the natural law. Just made clear. So there's no difference between the natural law and the Mosaic law. The fact that it was given to a certain people called the Jewish people, the people of Israel, that is simply that he made it positive, that is, he made it clear. Hey, guys, this is what I meant. However, it's written in everybody's heart, so everybody, when they hear it, ought to immediately go, I wasn't good. I wasn't good. I wasn't good. I was bad. Sorry. Everybody could do that, right? Do they know? Nobody does it. Actually, everybody defends themselves. Even when they say they're sorry, they just mean over a given thing they did. They don't mean they're sorry as a person. I'm a sorry person. That's not what they mean. What they mean is, I did wrong, I'll try to make up for it. How many know that you can't make up for it? You can't pay the price. And your conscience is not going to be at rest. That's why everybody's stressed, everybody's sick, everybody's depressed. Everybody, even those that are laughing and so on, they have to keep the booze up and keep titillated all the time, because otherwise they just degenerate. And if you stay with people long enough, they become depressing. If you stay with people long enough, they're just boring. You know, and you just can't keep up the dance. You know, after a while, you just tire out. And so people tend to move about, constantly stay busy, stay at work, party a lot, you know, do whatever to keep distracted so that nobody figures out that they're a nothing. But that natural law, so here's God's intention. I want everybody to be blessed, and it's the Father's good pleasure to give everybody the kingdom. Everybody. I want everybody to have everything. I think that's amazing. That's why God is good. The real God is good. Here's the real God. But what about this God over here? This is God manifesting himself through Moses and making it so clear that it'll no longer be ambiguous. It'll no longer be, are there 20 gods or one? There's only one. It'll no longer be not clear. Be perfect as I am perfect. Oh, now, to be perfect as he is perfect means I don't get to define it. He just defined it. Perfect for me, God says, is I'm holy, you be holy. I'm merciful, you be merciful. I'm loving, you be loving. I'm powerful, you be powerful. So you have to be exactly as God is. So now you don't have any more guesses. What's written on your heart suddenly becomes very clear, and he has just done something horrible to the Jewish people because he has revealed to them not what's written on their heart, which they haven't done, but he's made sin exceedingly sinful by making it clear that we had to be perfect. How many know that could be depressing? That's why the Jewish people are into psychology. The Jewish people are more agonized than any other people that have ever lived. I mean, we just take pills and stuff. But they're really crazy. Because they believe God wants them to be keeping the Torah, keeping the law, staying under the burden. So let's say this was a Jewish person right here. Let's say this was a Jewish person trying to be under this law here that says don't do bad and always do good. Man, that's a hell of a burden. That's hell. Because you've always got, you know, here's the pagan, Jim, me. You know, I'm not trying that hard. I just go fully on the law. I don't care. I don't care if there is a God or there isn't a God, and I don't care what he intends, and I don't care what he did, and I don't care what he says. I'm just going to do my own thing. But you see, I don't have a problem. So I'm not psychologically, you know, worried or nervous or anything. I do my thing and to hell with everybody. You all see, that's how I grew up. And so that was a wonderful life, no anxiety. I was not anxious. So I may have feared death only because then I can't sin anymore. That was about it. You know, I said, I don't really have any hope in anything. I didn't believe in heaven or hell or anything. I didn't believe in anything. Just me. Just survive, make it on a day-to-day basis. Cheat as many people as you can. Lie, do whatever you have to do. But make it. So whatever that was, and I just invented it every few minutes. In 1 minute it might be this, and next minute it might be that. Do you realize there's other people like me? I'm not the only one like this. I'm probably the only guy in church like this, but I'm not the only one like this. There are tons of perverted people like myself. And they don't have a lot of guilt. They don't have tremendous guilt. I mean, they are guilty. They just don't feel it or think about it. They just do what they want to do. So I'm so busy sinning, they don't have time to think about, you know, God or religion or morals. And I didn't do it. But anyway, this Jewish guy over here, he's agonizing over his sin. And anybody that's a legalistic Christian who believes that God is a lawgiver is troubled. And he has to be a lawgiver because, look, he gave one. He wrote it on the heart of everybody. Then he came and made it really clear in Moses and defined it in such a way that sin became so exceedingly sinful that even if you loved your neighbor outwardly but didn't love from the heart, you were wicked and had to go to hell. And that's horrible. I mean, that made it really bad. Like, who then can be saved? The disciples even asked Jesus that. Well, how can anybody be saved then? You know, how do you make it? If the law is what God is. Because he gave the law. There it is. He gave it. He wrote it on the heart of everybody from the beginning. And then later on in life and history, he revealed it to the Jews. Now it's clear. So the Jewish people are crazy. Because they believe they have to be good, and they try to be good, so they have to lie to themselves. And they just simply have to lie to themselves. Do y'all understand that? They just say to themselves, I'm keeping Torah. Now, I know I'm not keeping it perfectly, but by golly, I'm giving it a damn good try. And so that's their approach. Do y'all see that? And so you'll never find a Jewish person saying, I'm good. What you find is, you got to be good. For Christ's sake, you have to be good. They would say. No, they wouldn't say that. They would just simply say, you have to be good. And so a lot of Christians are like that. I mean, they're just talking about Jewish people, but it could be you. It can be anybody. But we're not under the law. And so you would think everybody become like me then if you're not under the law, and you'd be happy. You'd just be happy all the time. Because you're not under the law. And when I heard it, I didn't believe it at first because it's too good to be true. It didn't sound right. Sound like a trick or something. It's like, I don't believe that because I've never done a decent thing in my life. And I don't intend to, ever. And I don't feel guilty or bad about it, and I don't give a damn about God or whatever. I'll just, you know, when I die, I'll just take whatever I'm going to get. Because I didn't know if there was a life afterward or not. And I didn't really care because I wasn't dead. Even now, I mean, I almost died the other night, Friday. I almost died. I mean, I thought I was dead. But, as you can see, I'm not. I talked to God as I was dying. I was driving to Dallas, by the way. And anyway, I'm not going to tell you about the details because it's morbid. Y'all love morbid stuff. But anyway, so I thought, I'm dead. It's not this or that. It's the finish. You're done. And the only thing, I didn't feel bad about that. I didn't feel like, I don't want to die or can't die. I just felt like I don't want to right now. I got more things to do So I told Jesus, Jesus. And I couldn't even breathe. I mean, I was not breathing. But I just like, Jesus, this should not be a good time. Because I'm not done. You know, I have more to do. And, you know, it's not a big deal to me to stay because I'm ready. But I want to because I want to get done things, so I'm not taking it. I don't accept this. So do a miracle, do whatever you have to do, but I want to live. And I don't want to live, you know, a week. I want to live tonight, and so end it right here. You just heal me, totally restore me to your original purpose right there, and get this thing going. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. You love me. You want to give me the kingdom? Give it. Do you see that? So my prayers are not probably as sincere sounding as yours, but mine are strong. They're powerfully direct. There's no baloney tied to them. It's just, you know, I believe in God. I believe God is good. I believe God loves me. And here I am. So I should be dead. Peggy, you know, when I finally struggled to get all the way home, I drove all the way to Dallas, turned around, came all the way back, had to pull off the road several times because I thought I was, you know, finished. And finally got home, and I knew she was going to cry and all that stuff. And Peg, don't. Don't. If I die, it's not a big deal. Just don't. Well, you know, and how will I survive? And, you know, I don't know. Don't worry about it. And don't call a doctor, and I don't want to go to the hospital. And I don't want all that junk. So that's the end of it. Now, that's not scary to me. I wasn't scared of death at any moment, any second. So anyway, within a few minutes, I was completely well. This is within a few minutes. I just said, just help me get my shoes off. Help me get my shoes off. Because I couldn't move or walk or, you know, whatever. But anyway, so God's intention is to give us the kingdom, and therefore whatever happens, you can just totally disregard it. Because he always gets his way. Do y'all see that? Do you have that kind of confidence? I mean, I didn't make that up. I believe it. I mean, I didn't make myself believe it. I just believe it. And I didn't care if I died. That was not a big deal. Because I've already finished everything that I need to finish. But I wanted to stay and do some other things and so on and so forth. So I just felt, you know, the people need it and so on and so forth. Y'all need me. And so, you know, just staying for that reason. You know, there's no point in him wiping out all his troops. You know, he took Leland and took others, and, you know, I'm not going. So I don't know what Leland said or did, but he's happy, you know, wherever he is. And I would be happy if I was right there with him. Hey, how'd you get here so fast? But I didn't believe that. I somehow inside of me, I never believed for even a second that I was going to die, even though I was dying. And I knew I have no control over this thing. I mean, when you have one of these, is finished. So I said, okay, so change the thing, God, because I have a God. I'm not just on my own resource. Amen? And so I don't need a hospital. I've got a God. Now, I'm not talking to you. I'm not saying what you should do. I'm just telling you what I actually did, not what you ought to do. I mean, you can do what you want. But so I just said, you know, okay, I'm not worried. I'm not scared. I just don't know if I can get home. So first thing is this lets me get into traffic. I couldn't do my normal speeding because my foot just wouldn't do it. I just couldn't make my foot do it. I had no strength. Yeah, right. And I made him a lot of promises. from now on, Lord, I'm not going to do this and that. And so on. Yeah, it's good. It's really good. Anyway, I knew it was a warning. I knew it was absolutely a warning from God saying, you're not going to die, but I'm warning you, change your, you know, the way you think and operate and so on. I want you to change a whole bunch of things. Okay, done. That's it. Okay, no problem. But God wants to give us the good news, the kingdom. Amen? And so since that's his pleasure, he will not be thwarted. There's two things you can't do. One, you can't destroy God, and two, you can't destroy his beneficiary. So you can never gainsay God, that is, stand up and say he's wrong. You can't argue with him. That's number one. Number two, so you can't break his word. Number two, you can't ever destroy me, who is the object of his affection. You remember the promise? Jim, I promise you abundant life and all that kind of stuff. And I swear that you will receive this. So he not only made a promise to me, he swore an oath that said, you'll receive the promise.
Wow.
He did my side plus his side. You see that two things that can't be changed? Remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. So God made a promise and swore an oath that he'd keep that promise. And this is what the seventh chapter is all about, but it's what the whole book is about, but it's what the whole Bible is about. That God swore this oath. And when you swear an oath, that means it's confirmed. Jim, I promise you that you will live until you complete what I have in for you, which was my prayer. Is God, I'm not finished with the mission. It's not that I'm not ready to die. I'm not finished with the mission. So I ain't dying. I mean, even though I'm dying right now, I knew I was dying, which I wasn't, but I thought I was. And the fact that I couldn't breathe and, you know, was in absolute sharp pain. I never had appendicitis or heart attack or anything, but whatever those were, that was it. I mean, I didn't know which one I had, but it was one of those, you know. And I could eliminate a few, like strokes or something, but what it could be anything. Whatever it was, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't get enough air. Every time I moved, I was in sharp pain, and so on and so forth. So I just said, well, God, I'll finish my mission. I'm not done yet, so fix me up and do it tonight. I mean, I don't want to wait another day. So, God is good. God is good. And you have a God that loves you no matter what. So that's why I say God's good. He's good. He's unconditionally good. But it isn't because of my testimony. I don't really care about my testimony. I don't care if I lived or died. What I care about is that God is good. What it's talking about is God, not me. It's not talking about my faith in God. I'm not interested in my faith in God. I'm interested in his promise to me. And then the oath he swore that he would do my side plus his. So my faith is not a work of mine or some faith that I have, some commodity that I bought. It's actually just, I believe. I just simply believe. I'm making myself believe it. I don't even know all the stuff I'm believing in, but whatever it is, I'm taking it all. I want the whole shebang. I don't want any of it left off. Now, can you see how happy I am and how happy I always am, and I'm never unhappy, ever? You all understand that? So I can be in the throes of death. It is nothing. It is not scary to me. And I've been there many times, and it isn't scary to me because I'm done. I'm finished. Finished a long time ago. When you're in love, you're in love. When you've drunk the drink that satisfies, you're satisfied. When you bought the pearl of great price and sold everything to get it, you don't want anything else. When Jesus gets in your boat, it's at the land. So the minute you become a Christian, for me, it's over. It was over. And it is over. But I don't know about for you. Because I think some of you are still trying to find life in life, still trying to keep the law, still hoping you're a decent person or whatever. And so you're not really an honest person. Because there's nothing in your flesh that will ever serve God. There's nothing in your flesh that will ever want God. There's nothing in your flesh that loves God. Your flesh stands up against God in every instance, about everything. It has no faith. All it wants is this world. It just wants to get life in this world. It just wants to be left alone and be happy here. Leave me alone. Just make me survive. Do you all understand that? And that's where most Christians, unfortunately, are. They don't really want God. They just want to use God to get their own little happiness thing going. Y'all see that? And just, you know, like I use God to get well or something. I'm not using God. I don't want to use him. I believe he's awesome. I believe he's everything I've ever needed. I don't need me. I just need to know that God loves me. That's it. That's all I need to know. If you love me and you keep promises and so on, you made some awesome promises. Yahoo! That's the end of it. Do y'all see how simple it is? I just cut through all of humanity. I just cut through all learning, all, you know, material stuff, all everything. It's just nothing. The only thing that counts is heaven. That guy that made heaven and earth likes me. Got a relationship. My performance, the same as yours. I don't think my performance is any different than yours. But I'm not interested in it. I never look at the fruit to see what kind of fruit I produced or what grade I'll get, as I don't believe fruit has anything to do with anything. Everything for me is beholding Him. Just beholding Him. That's it. There's my life right there. Just beholding Him. Now, I know we're changed, but I'm not looking at the change to prove that I beheld Him. I'm just beholding Him because He's awesome. And He's just like a kaleidoscope. He keeps changing colors. He's too awesome, too beautiful. And I just want to keep looking. You know, I just want to keep looking. Do they make those anymore even? When we were kids, we always used to get those little things and look through them. And they just waste hours looking at that thing. Wow, wow. Get that one back. And so, do they make them?
Yes.
I need to buy one of those. They're cool. Every kid should have one of those. Life is too good. Y'all having a wonderful time? And could it be any better?
No.
You see, heaven is not better than what we have right now. You're not going to heaven. Heaven has already come to you. And you're not going to be happier when you get to heaven. If you're not happy right now, and you're not in heaven right now, you ain't going. At least, I mean, you can't get it later. You need to get it now. You have to get it now. So does everybody have it?
Amen.
Everybody have it? I mean, it's, I'm in heaven. You need to be in heaven. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. So that's already in heaven. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places and all this stuff. It's all telling me something. And I fear God enough to say, if He says it, that's it. That's it. I don't want to think about it or meditate on it or chew on it or anything. If He says it, that's it. I don't even have to even read it. I believe anything He says. Without even knowing all the stuff He says, I believe it anyway. That's just, I completely surrendered to Him. I used to be God, okay? And I decided I wasn't a really good God. I just wasn't doing that. I wasn't getting whatever gods are supposed to get. And it's like I just gave up, surrendered to God. Did I struggle? Absolutely. I didn't want to give up my God being at all. I like being God. I like controlling my own life and dominating and cheating others and so on. I love that. I never felt guilty about it or bad about it. I felt good about it. I felt people were stupid. People were just naive. People are easy to cheat. People are easy to deceive. You know, most people love to be deceived and cheated and so on and so forth. You know that? People are easy to manipulate. Are you aware of that? Now, most people aren't as mean and as rotten and as nasty and as opportunistic as I am. I'm not now, but I mean, that's what I was. But that's the way I was. And it didn't bother me a bit. But now that I've become a Christian, I just surrendered. I said, no, I don't want me anymore. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I have everything. If with Jesus, He freely gives you all things. Is that not amazing? So not only did Jesus give me something, He gave me everything. So what do I need? Nothing. I don't need anything. I don't need to think of anything or feel something or taste something or experience something. I don't need anything. I got it all. Now, those are words for most people, but not for me. For me, those were not words. That actually became reality. And I think because I wasn't Jewish and I wasn't Christian and I wasn't moral and I wasn't nice, I think for me, it was just real clear. Either you're God or He's God. That's it. And if He's God, then I'm not. I mean, they rule one another out. If I'm God, He ain't. And if He's God, I ain't. So that's it. Anyway, when I then surrendered to Him, I knew it was all or nothing. I knew you couldn't be like a Jewish person that would say he loved God, but he didn't do it from his heart. The guy says he loves God, but he doesn't do it from his heart. Even though his whole life is dedicated to, you know, bowing and scraping and all that, it's just baloney. And I could tell God was not into that because he said, You have to be, here's his law. The guy said he's under this law? Well, then keep it. If you're under the law, keep it. I never said I was under it. I wasn't under it, and I didn't care for it. But if you're going to be under it, then do it. Here's what it says, be perfect, as exactly as I am. Well, the first thing to find out is, well, what's God like? If he's holy, you have to be holy. If he's merciful, you better be merciful. I know a lot of Jewish people that aren't very merciful. As a matter of fact, if you actually do keep the law on the outside, you're not merciful at all. You're a judgmental, critical type person. You're putting pressure on everybody around you. Hey, stop smoking. Hey, quit that. Hey, we don't say like that. You know, so they're just terrific pressure on people. You better come to church or else you go to hell. You know, pastors don't say that, but that's what they mean. They want the big thing and all that stuff. I don't want it. I don't want anything. I have everything. I already have everything. It's wonderful to be, you know, surplus. With Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. Not he will give to you. I already have it. Not you see it. I don't need to see it to believe it. I already believe it. I already believe everything's going my way. I even said that as I was walking in this hotel this morning. I said to myself, everything's going my way. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it's not based on anything. It's not based on that I almost died. I don't even care about that thing. It's just based on God's so good. Are y'all, anybody else? I mean, this is just too good. I don't care if you get it or not, but it'd be helpful if you did. For you, it didn't help me. I'm not going to brag or boast on it. I might, but I mean, the thing is, it's just good for you to be happy. God actually intended. Happy is the man that trusts in himself. No. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. That's all. There's happiness. That's settled that whole question, because there isn't any other question in life. There is no other question. Jesus' first sermon was happy. Happy are you when you mourn. Happy are you when you're poor, and so on. It just said happy. Because everybody's into happiness, but he reversed it. He said everything that was miserable, and he said, happy are you when you're miserable. I mean, he completely screwed everything up. He just turned the whole thing upside down. Happy are you when men revile you and hate you and utter all kinds of evil. Isn't that a funny sermon? Don't you think that's a funny sermon? And that was his very first sermon. I would have fired him right there. It's like, man, that is a stupid. That guy is stupid. He's telling about, he's saying the wrong stuff. But that's because it's killing your flesh. Because you know what? Your flesh doesn't like to mourn. Your flesh doesn't like when men revile you. Your flesh doesn't like to be misunderstood. Your flesh doesn't like to be persecuted. Your flesh doesn't like anything except to have indulgence and everything going your way. Amen? And that's the sad part of the faith teaching, is that they turn it into materialism. I know they don't intend to, but they do, because they know God's good, so that sounds like good. I don't call that good. Material stuff is not what's good. What's good is knowing him, not how you perform or how much stuff you got or how many people you blessed or something. No, good is just knowing God, that he loves you unconditionally. Now, anybody happy yet so far before I go on? All right. Now, you don't know Latin, most of you, maybe none of you, but there's a thing called status quo ante. Does anybody know what that means?
Status quo
ante. Status quo ante. Okay. Status is like standing. Your station or your standing. So your status is how a thing is. Your status in relationship to something. Quo, that means that. You know, that condition which stands, ante means before. So to put something status quo ante means put it back to the way it was exactly. Put it back to its original condition, okay? Restore it to its original place. So we just rented out a house, and part of the contract is you get your security back if you leave the house as you found it. Status quo ante. You know, put it back in the exact same place, you get the whole thing back. But if you don't, you've kicked holes in the wall and whatever, you don't get it back. Or you get part of it if you, you know, left it but you didn't wash the windows or something or other, you know, whatever you do. Because I put it in immaculate condition, and then they have to put it back in that same condition when they leave, so they don't just get to walk out and leave it. And then I had another rent house where the people did that. They put it back pretty much the way it was. Of course, it's worn down a little bit, but we don't count that. That's normal wear and tear. But still, it's really rentable immediately without my even fixing it. I just want to make some improvements. So that's status quo ante. Christianity has nothing to do with status quo ante. When you become a Christian, this is me becoming a Christian. When you become a Christian, you are not going back under the law, nor are you going back under Adam's original dominion before the fall, which is what many pastors teach. Wrong, wrong, wrong. There is no such thing as status quo ante back to Moses. In other words, the reason the gospel came along, here's the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ who died for you and who is your life and all that. The reason why this is good news is not to put me back under the law. It's to set me free from the law. It's an entirely new something. Is God wants to have a relationship, not performance. So this law is now null. The law isn't bad. The law is a good thing. The law is a good thing. But because it says, be like God. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Don't do wrong, do right. But what's bad with that is I didn't want to. So the bad was not the law, but me. And so it wasn't good news to me to hear that. Is, Jim, if you don't do right, you go to hell. Or if you do, you know, the right thing, you go to heaven. That wasn't good news for me. Because I didn't want to do right, and I did want to do wrong. And I didn't think about it. I just wanted to do it. But for the Jewish person, he at least said, he looked down on me and despised me and said, boy, what a jerk he is. I'm trying. You're not even trying. Now, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm at least trying to be. So they say that to one another. When a Jewish person who's Orthodox walks up to another Jewish person, the first words out of their mouth must be these words. Not, hi, hello, how are you? But, are you walking after Torah? Are you keeping Torah? Are you keeping the Torah? Are you keeping the law? And so they inquire and they provoke one another by doing that. So they're actually saying, you know, how are you in relationship to the law? Not in relationship to God. Because they believe God has manifested his intention through the law. And he has, but in a negative way. In other words, the only reason he gave the law, and you don't know this in the Old Testament, the only reason he gave the law was not to keep people from breaking the law, but was to actually cause them to feel guilty that they broke the law. So the law is negative. It says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. It's all negative. Now, there's nothing positive in the law. The law does not say, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the summary of the law. That's the spirit of the law. But that's not the law. The language of the law is all negative. Thou shalt not have other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, it's talking to sinners. It's talking to people as, hey, don't do it that way. Don't be you. And I was me. And I always was me. And I didn't want to be not me. I always wanted to be me. So I've had never had a problem knowing what I think, what I feel, what I want. Jim, what do you want? I want that guy killed. I just know that. I mean, I want everything on my plate. You know, I mean, I just know what I want. And I always know what I think. What do you think? I think that guy's an idiot. I mean, I don't have to check with Jesus or anything. I just know right away what I want. So that's my flesh, right? I was always in tune with my flesh, and I still am. I could just say what my flesh wants right now. You all understand that? And you have one too. Y'all have the flesh, it's still there. But it no longer defines me, so I don't check it. I don't check my psychology, you know, to see what it's thinking or feeling or wanting or saying. I don't care about it. I don't believe it. I don't believe one thing I feel, think, or want. If I want something, I don't believe I want it. I just check with God. God, what do you say I want? You want to know me. Hallelujah. There it is. That's it. I believe it. And I can easily sing, I surrender all, because I do. I surrender all to Jesus. Isn't that great? Did y'all have that? Or this, I'm not working at it. There's no sweat on me. I'm not like trying to be sincere and religious. I don't do that to myself. If I am, I am. And if I'm not, I'm not. But I am, because I believe him. So my am-ness is totally in relationship to Jesus through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I never read the law. Here's the way the law is. God gave the law, and he meant it. But he meant it for Jesus. He meant it to kill Jesus. So when Jesus saw that Jim was going to die, he intervened and said, God, well, don't kill Jim. And the Father said, that's my idea also, just same as yours. You don't want Jim to die, do you? No. Okay, go down and die for him, would you? Absolutely, thank you. Yes. So the law fell on Jesus. And then what happened to the blessing? It fell on me. He said, give Jim all my blessing, give him everything, and then give me the burden that he was going to get. I like that. So I got this idea that Jesus was telling me the truth. He said he was the truth. That God loved me unconditionally and wanted all the burden to fall on him and all the blessing to go to me. That made perfect sense to me. That sounded good to me, Sam. I just thought, wow, that is too good to be true. I mean, don't share this gospel with anybody else because they'll never believe you. Just keep it as a kind of a secret. I couldn't believe that. Why would Jesus do that? And not only that, he then swore another oath, not only that he'd forgive me for sinning and then pay the price for me by dying as Savior, but he'd also become my Lord and change and alter me without my helping, without my doing anything. He would just help me to become a perfect Christian, just like him. Exactly what the law wanted but couldn't give. It wanted something that it couldn't give. It wanted me to be perfect like God, but it only told me to do it, but it didn't forgive me if I didn't, and it didn't help me to do it. But here Jesus helped me to do it, and forgave me first, and then helped me to actually become a Christian. Well, that's why I want Jesus as Savior and as Lord. I want Jesus to not only forgive me when I do wrong, but also help me so that I don't do wrong. And then he gets all the glory because I didn't do it. He did it all. And I got all the blessing the whole time. And all I did was behold him. I beheld him as Savior, and then he rose from the dead and became the Lord. Savior, Lord. Beautiful. So that's why he's Melchizedek. Melchah means king. That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. And priest is tzaddik, which is the priest, who's the righteous one. So he is not only my righteousness, he's also my power. So now I have both. I've got everything through Jesus after the order of Melchizedek. So there's two kinds of priesthood. The priesthood that came under this Jewish law is Aaronic, from Aaron. And this Jewish law is that if you don't keep this law and you sin, because Jewish people sin too, you could still bring a turtle dove. You could still go and kill a calf or a lamb or a goat or something and sacrifice something, give something of yourself to God. And so they're going to get the mercy because they did something good to get that reward. So they brought the innocent victim, showing that they were covered by the blood, but it wasn't the blood of Jesus. Covered by the blood, but it's totally different. Under Levi, under the sons of Levi, not under Jesus, this priesthood is still under the law. In other words, this one is if you break the law. But what about the intention of God? We never did find out what the intention of God was. Here's the intention of God. It's my pleasure to give Jim the kingdom. That's what pleases me. Well, is he going to be thwarted in that? I don't care what his law says. It's my pleasure that Jim keep the law. No, because it's his pleasure that Jesus keep the law for Jim, and then in Jim, and then through Jim, and that Jim get all the blessing. That's good. I like this one better. I like to read it. I like to read the law. The law doesn't scare me at all, because it never refers to me. It's always referring to what Jesus had to do, did do, and will always do for me. Everything's for me. So here I am, the recipient, And this poor guy, this Jewish person, he's having a dickens of a trouble because he thinks the law is for him. So the law falls directly on him. He doesn't have any Jesus. He just has a lamb, but that lamb's a one-day thing or a one-hour thing or a one-minute thing. If he sins again, he has to get another one. And that's a bloody mess. And so they're just, you know, it's tough being a lamb in Israel because you never know when you're going to get it. And so they're in short demand. But Jesus ended that. Did you know that the Jews don't sacrifice animals anymore? They'd like to. They're trying to rebuild the temple so they can get that thing going again. You think it'll happen? See, a lot of Christians are praying for that. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Really? You want to go back under the law? You want to go back under the priesthood? You want to go backward? You want to take the world backward? That'll help. Sure helped ancient Israel a lot. They killed a lot of goats and bulls and lambs. I don't think it did anybody any good. Do you all understand what I'm saying? That's not good news. That's a mean God that wants all that blood. This God, here's his real intent, is not that, which is his left hand. It's that, which is his right hand. So the real heart of God is only seen here, not here. This is negative. This just shows that I shouldn't have other gods before me. But it really doesn't give me the true God. This one gives me the true God. So there's a whole bunch of differences here. This is imperfect. This is perfect. This is temporal. This is eternal. This one is many priests. This is just one. Jesus is the last priest. I mean, we have a priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's it. This one is perfect. This one is weak. It can't perfect me. Under the law, nothing is made perfect. So what good is the law? The law, even if I could keep it outwardly, I didn't keep it from the heart. I need a new heart. And only Jesus can give you that. So this one, under the law, does not help me one bit. This one, which is a free gift, oh, that helps. This one is a promise without an oath. This one is a promise with an oath. And the promise is better. And the oath. Did you know that the Aaronic priesthood has no oath? It just has the promise. If you do well, you will be blessed. And if you sin, you'll be cursed. No, that's not a very strong promise. Because what if I can't do the if? What if I did it outwardly, but I didn't do it inwardly? What if I secretly wanted my own way, but I did it anyway? I did my duty and went to church. I paid my tithe. I helped people. I was nice. I had a no fun time my entire life. That won't get you into heaven. You see, keeping the law doesn't help a thing. Keeping the gospel is real easy. Why? Everything relies on Jesus. And he's already done it. So there's nothing to be done. There is nothing to be done. This one is always undone. This one is done forever. This one, you have many priests. This one, you just have one. This one is imperfect. This one's perfect. This one is this. This one is that. There are so many contrasts here that it's a totally new world. It's not status quo ante putting me back under this. Like, the purpose of Jesus was so that he could give you a new heart so you could finally keep the law. No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is not that you could finally keep the law. The purpose is that he kept the law for you, and his life is your life. Totally new. Totally new creation. Totally new world. Totally new. Not the old creation perfected, but the old creation destroyed so that the new world could come forth. That's why we don't have a Christian Sabbath. This is the Jewish trying to make this world into a Sabbath, trying to make the flesh clean up. Forget that. Never works. Never will happen. This is a totally new world that's just given to you as a gift, and all you have to do is believe. The grace of God comes to you, and you just simply believe. I just believe God's good. I just believe God loves me. Well, why do you believe that? I don't know. It's written in the Bible. I just believe it. Let's believe what's written in the Bible. I don't believe I have to do a thing or feel a thing or think a thing. I don't have to do anything. It's done. It's just the death of me is not to worry about it. To be happy. Death is happy. Do you all see that?
Yeah.
So now that, well, golly, God, what can I do? Nothing. Oh, could I do something? No. It's all been done. Oh, well, what could I do? You can't do anything. How do you add to perfection? Well, I was going to just add a little bit. It's going to show a little appreciation for that. I've done it all. How many know perfect is perfect? Perfect is perfect. Perfect is perfect. Imperfect is imperfect. Yes, you can always improve this one. You can have some evolution or something changing. But over here, nothing changes. It's done, finished, over. It's perfect. God did it. That's the difference. Here all the weight's on God. Here all the weight's on me, you. This is too good to be true, but it happens to be true. Amen. That's why our religion is the only religion. Islam is over here. There's no difference between Islam and Judaism, Catholicism. All of those religions are all fear-based. They're all performance-based. They're all human shaping up-based. They're all behavioral modification-based. They're all trying to make you behave yourself-based. Okay. Have nothing to do with Jesus, because we're not status quo ante. We're not trying to restore things to what they originally were, not even going back to Adam before the fall. Adam before the fall is not being a Christian. Adam before the fall is just he was innocent. He hadn't sinned yet. It's nothing. Big deal. Ours is, after sinning, Jesus Christ forgave me, then helped me. Praise God, that's a whole new idea, that God loves sinners. That he actually came not for the righteous, not for the righteous, or even the one that says he's righteous. He came for sinners. Anybody here a sinner? The Jewish people say, no, I'm an innocent person. I did everything right. I went to temple today. I went to synagogue. I'm keeping Torah as best I can. Had some goats and stuff I killed and blah, blah, blah. But he's going, well, I have good news for someone who's a sinner. Me! It's me! I mean, someone that hates me. Me! Someone that will crucify my son. Me! You see, I'm perfectly qualified. You see how I'm pre-qualified? And I'm not ashamed that I'm wicked. I'm not ashamed that I'm shallow. I'm not ashamed that I'm boring. I'm not ashamed that I'm worthless. I'm not ashamed at all. I have no shame. Why? Because Jesus loves sinners. Me. Now, do you all see what freedom there is? That is total freedom. It's so ridiculous, I can't imagine anyone believing it except me. I can't imagine why anyone would believe this thing. It's ridiculous. It can't be true. That one makes sense to me, is a person should not do bad, he should do good. That makes sense. It's just I didn't want to do it. I knew I'd never do it. I knew I'd never have my heart in it. And I didn't even want to waste my time trying. So, if I was going to go to hell, let me go to hell. But I didn't even believe in God. I didn't need him. And so, you know, I never thought about it deeply. I just didn't think about it. I was just too busy getting my own way. And every Christian I met was a hypocrite as far as I was concerned, because they were doing the same thing, but they were saying they believed in Jesus, and they were saying they had a relationship with Jesus, personal relationship with God. But I could tell they don't. You just want your own way. You're exactly the same as everybody else. It's just that you're not honest. You're totally dishonest. I'm sinful, and I like it. I didn't even know it was called sin, but if that's what you call it, okay, fine, sin. I know I'm selfish. All I want is me. I don't want to love other people. Golly, don't you just hate other people? They don't want to cooperate and look out for you all the time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm with other people, and I don't feel like they always are thinking only of me. When they call me on the phone, Pastor, I just was thinking of you today. Just wanted to bless you. Every once in a while that happens, but I don't know, I'm a little cynical on that. but even so, I don't think people love me unconditionally like God does. What if I sinned against them? What if I didn't show up for their funeral or whatever? You know, they'd be ticked. So I don't trust people. Did you know the Bible says, put not your trust in man? I don't trust people. But I trust Jesus because he not only makes me an offer, he already died for me before I was even born. The guy said, Jim, I just love you. I just want to have a relationship with you. My best friend. Right here. I'm in love. I'm in love. So I'm the bride, he's the bridegroom. I'm the branch, he's the vine. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. So this to me is two different priesthood. The Levitical priesthood, then there's Jesus, my high priest. And he's not only my priest, he's also my king. I love it. Everything I ever need, it's mine. Everything I want, he's taking care of it. I don't have any wants or any needs. I'm never panicking. I'm never worried. I'm not trying to achieve anything. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm gentle. I'm lowly of heart. I don't know what he's saying, but whatever he's saying, it sounds good. Just do it, Jesus. Do y'all see? You don't have to focus on it. I do. I actually do. I'm a pastor, so I have to look at it closely. But I just bought the whole package. I mean, I didn't even look in the truck. Jim, this is all for you. Great. Yahoo. I don't even know what's in there. But when I started thumbing through it, golly, it's good stuff. And the more you look at it, it gets better and better and more and greater and more glorious. Wow. How could anyone not want to have this relationship rather than that relationship to a law? I'd rather have a love relationship with the Father than a law relationship with the Father. Because his heart is here. His hand is here. This is just showing you what you ought to do. But you know what? I'd rather find out what his intention was. Because remember, his intention never fails. And I can never be destroyed. Oh, I'm going to stand on that one. So these three, that's all I care about. I don't care about this law thing. Because that fell on Jesus. Let Jesus then worry about what fell on him. I don't need to look at it. Whatever it was that Jim was supposed to do or whatever, let Jesus take care of that. Because he likes to be my sub. Jesus is my substitutionary atonement, whatever that all means. He's my propitiation, whatever that all means. We don't even use these words anymore. But they're in the Bible. And what they mean is, Jesus took care of everything. Took care of everything. I just love it when somebody says, and I've taken care of everything. And don't worry about it. Wow, praise the Lord. Yahoo! Just go and have a good time. Woohoo! It's all been taken care of. Well, what did I do? You didn't do anything. I just wanted to do that. You wanted to do it? What for? I mean, what are you expecting? Well, I mean, what do I have to do? Because I'm sure I won't do it. I won't be worthy of it. Amen? Isn't that true? Because in this world, you have to pay for everything. Sooner or later, one way or another, if the mafia helps you out, they expect payment. You know, when they help you out, and I've been with the mafia, they will give you whatever it is you want. You just tell them what you want. Done. Say, well, I asked the government to do thus and so, and they want this and that and so on and so forth. Hey, don't worry about it. What do you want? Well, it's just, if that could just happen, it's done. And they just do it. They don't have any morals or anything. They just get it done. But you know what? They exact a price because someday they call you up and say, hey, I need a little favor. Need someone bumped off. Could you do that? Well, no. I mean, I couldn't do that. Yeah, you could. Oh.
You better.
Yeah, you better. And so I don't want to deal with the devil or the mafia or anyone else. I realize, hey, that if you want happiness in this world, you're not going to find it. I hope there's nobody here in this church that's looking for happiness. I hope you're looking for truth. Because if you trust in this truth right here, happy are you. Now you get truth plus happiness. You weren't looking for it, but you got it as an extra, as a benefit, as a fruit. I'm the happiest person on the face of the earth. Why? Because I wasn't looking for it. I was just looking for truth. I just want to know the truth. Whatever the truth is, no matter how harsh it is, no matter how cruel it is, I want it. Just tell me the truth, whatever the truth is. If I'm going to die, fine. If I'm going to live, fine. Whatever. Whatever the truth is, I'm happy. Whatever really is, that's the way I want it to be. Well, this is what really is that God the Father in heaven, who made heaven and earth, who has all power, all authority, all strength, all wisdom, all knowledge, all everything, likes me. I love that truth. And he had Jesus come down after this one to disannul that law. That law doesn't apply to me. N/A, not applicable. So he says, Jim, did you keep the law? Not applicable. N/A. I just fill that in their little form. Because you get these forms all the time from people. I just love N/A, non-applicable. Doesn't apply to me. You all see that? You know, are you this or that? Not applicable. You know, I'm exempt. I'm immune. It's not part of me. It has nothing to do with me. So that is so powerful. Do y'all see that? Now, this world isn't over with yet. And I believe I'm here for a reason. You don't even know what it is, probably. But I believe I'm here for a reason. And it has nothing to do with all the stuff I've been telling you. It has something to do with it, something else. But I believe until I'm done with that, I'm not done. So I want to finish that off. When it's finished, it'll be finished. And I believe that men should be free. And when they're free, you know, they could sin. Did you know that when people are free, when they actually sit in this chair, which is a new status, you actually could sin? Do you know that when God loves you unconditionally, you could sin? Are you aware of that? Isn't that scary? Yeah, but if there's no law, maybe I'll do wrong. Maybe.
Yeah, wrong.
Maybe. You know, if you're in love, you could mess up. Because what if your beloved didn't come through at some point? You might get mad at him and then sin. Is there a law then applies to me? No. Because the one that loves me would still say, Jim, you could crucify me 100,000 times. I still love you. Never going to change. Get over here. I'm going to give you a big hug. And Jesus is never mad at me. Never. He never gets disappointed in me. He's never disillusioned. Can't believe you did that. Do y'all have a good God?
Yes.
Let's have some testimonies.